We celebrate today a great saint, St. Anthony Mary Claret, called the Apostle of the 19th century. The Apostle of the 19th century, we'll see why, even if only in a nutshell, why the Apostle of the 19th century. He was born in 1807 in Spain, in a little town in Catalonia near Barcelona. He, at a young age, became a priest and a zealous priest, a very zealous priest. He was promoted, because of his virtue and his learning, he was promoted to bishop at the age of 43. From 1850 to 1857, he was a missionary bishop in Cuba, in the Diocese of Santiago de Cuba. He was there for 7 years, then he was called back to Spain. His fame for virtue and learning kept spreading around the world. He was called back to Spain, where he became the Queen's confessor, the confessor of the Queen of Spain, until her being exiled into France during a revolution that happened in Spain at that time. Both she and the bishop were exiled. He died in exile then in 1870 after founding a religious institute, the Missionary Sons of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I have loved justice and hated iniquity, therefore I die in exile, were the words carved on his tombstone, the words that St. Gregory VII had written on his tombstone, or had written on his tombstone rather, and the words that echo the psalm, you know, I have loved justice and hated iniquity, and what was my reward? I have died in exile. He preached during his lifetime over 25,000 sermons. 25,000 sermons, sometimes three, four, even more a day. He wrote 144 different little works, little or big works on faith, on morals, on salvation, on sanctity, of which tens of millions of copies were distributed. Tens of millions of copies circled the globe, doing just as much good as a missionary would, St. Anthony Claret said. He traveled on foot, countless miles all over Spain, all over Cuba, in search of lost sheep, in search of hardened sinners, the forgotten, the desperate. He suffered at least 15 different known assassination attempts at the hand of the godless, whom he always forgave. Admirable charity and long-suffering, of which the collect spoke today. Admirable charity, true long-suffering. Why? Because he was a true shepherd who sacrificed himself in search of the lost sheep. He demanded much of his flock. He was a rigid, one could say, a rigid pastor, rigid in the sense that he never watered down the gospel for his faithful. He gave them all of the gospel, and he expected them to live up to all of the gospel, as a good shepherd should. But his own charity and pastoral zeal was such, admirable charity, burning charity, he was on fire with divine love. His own charity was such that he was able to convert even the most hardened of sinners, even his own assassins, those godless men, you know, who were intent on killing him, were converted by him because of his forgiveness, because of this admirable charity and long-suffering. He was able to convert the most hardened of sinners, and no matter how demanding our Lord's law was, he was able to make the faithful feel how easy the yoke and how light and sweet the burden of Christ and his gospel. So today, on this memorial of St. Anthony Claret, I'd like to look at an address that the Pope gave less than a week ago. This past week, I've had an opportunity to, a couple of times, I think, allude to it. And even at the risk of being a little bit repetitive for some of you, I think it's good, it's worthwhile to look into this address of the Pope a bit more thoroughly, in a bit more detail. The Pope, at the conclusion of the Synod, gave an address to the bishops there present, and in it, he described the essential traits of a good shepherd in our own day and age, a shepherd that's able to read the signs of the times, like our Lord exhorts us and admonishes us in the gospel today. So this is just a translation, rather more a paraphrase than a translation, of the Pope's address with some commentary. If you want to see the original, you'd have to look on the Vatican website. Here it's a loose translation and a paraphrase of the Pope's words to the bishops there present. Concerns pastors, but also laity. pastors, but also the lay faithful insofar as they collaborate with pastors in their own way, in teaching, in their own way, in trying to sanctify and trying to make holy the other members of the mystical body, and trying to find the lost sheep that our Lord holds so dear to his heart. So in the beginning of this discourse, this speech, the Pope refers to true shepherds, and he alludes to the code of canon law, to three canons in particular. So let's put ourselves into the right context. The Pope alludes to canons 375, 386, and 387. 375, bishops. These are the pastors, high priests of the church, bishops who by divine institution succeed to the place of the apostles through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to them, are constituted pastors in the church, so that they are teachers of doctrine, priests of sacred worship, ministers of governance. They teach, they sanctify, they govern. Canon 386, a diocesan bishop frequently preaching in person. St. Anthony Claret preached 25,000 times in person. A diocesan bishop frequently preaching in person is bound to propose and explain to the faithful the truths of the faith, which are to be believed and applied to morals, faith and morals, not intellect only, but intellect and will. He is also to take care that the prescripts of the canons on the ministry of the word, especially those on the homily and catechetical instruction, are carefully observed so that the whole Christian doctrine is handed on to all. The bishop, the pastor, is supposed to make sure that in homilies and catechetical instructions, whoever it is that teaches the faith, priests or laity, homilists or catechists, whoever it is that teaches it, he's to make sure that the whole of the gospel is carefully transmitted to all the faithful. Canon 387, since the diocesan bishop is mindful of his obligation to show an example of holiness in charity, humility, and simplicity of life, he is to strive to promote in every way the holiness of the Christian faithful, according to the proper vocation of each. Since he is the principal dispenser of the mysteries of God, he is to endeavor constantly that the Christian faithful entrusted to his care grow in grace through the celebration of the sacraments, and that they understand and live the Paschal mystery. These are the pastors, the true shepherds that the Pope is speaking of. And then the Pope goes on to mention, however, some temptations, some risks, some real temptations and risks that these shepherds face in their ministry today. We'll summarize them here. The Pope first and foremost speaks of the temptation of a hostile hardening. In Italian, if I remember correctly, he speaks of an irrigidimento ostile. That means a hostile stiffening of oneself. A hardening of what? That wanting to close oneself in what is written in the letter and not allow oneself to be surprised by God, the God of surprises, the Spirit. The Pope calls these traditionalists or intellectuals. How does he mean this? He means that we cannot ever exclude the possibility of God surprising us. How? Not in the sense that, you know, whoa, what once used to be a sin, lo and behold, it's not a sin anymore. God surprised me. No, never in that sense. Quite the opposite sense, that there is not a single situation, no matter how sinful, no matter how intricate, no matter how complicated, no sinner, no matter how corrupt, how depraved, how hardened, that cannot be converted, that cannot be received, converted by God. There is no knot that our Lord cannot undo, no matter how intricate, and our Lord especially, our Lord loves to undo these knots, no matter how intricate, how complicated, he loves to undo them through Our Lady, through the undoer of knots, through the holy and immaculate Virgin Mary. So in this sense, God can and will always surprise us. He did not spurn Levi, the tax collector, although he should have, according to the Pharisaical customs of the times. No, he did not spurn him. He made him, he received him as an apostle, and he made him Saint Matthew, the evangelist. He did not reject Mary Magdalene. He received her, and she became one of the holiest penitents of all times. He converted even the most hardened of sinners, whom otherwise would have been spurned by society. In this way, our Lord does surprise us and will never cease to surprise us. With this temptation, we can link another of which the Pope speaks, that of transforming bread into stone. The bread of Christ's gospel, the bread of his word, the bread of his law, the bread of his freeing teaching, the bread of his grace, and hurling it against sinners. You can know the catechism inside out. You can know all the dogmas. You can know all the decrees and canons of all the councils, beginning from the first to the last. But if you turn them into a stone and hurl them at the sinner, you'll never win a soul for Christ. You'll either drive someone to despair, to atheism, or to some other Protestant sect or religion altogether. Here we have to look at the example of the Good Samaritan. We often hear that example, our Lord's example, brought up. The Good Samaritan, what does he do? When he finds the man assailed by robbers, lying in the middle of the road, wounded, he doesn't just come up to him and say, "Wow, you're really in bad shape. How did you let yourself be reduced to such a state? You should be ashamed of yourself. Either take care of yourself or you'll die." No, he himself bandages his wounds. He picks him up, puts him on his beast of burden, takes him to the inn, makes sure he's treated, pays for it out of his own pocket. That's the Good Samaritan. We cannot turn the bread of Christ into a stone and hurl it at sinners either. There's another temptation, an extreme opposite, a temptation of a destructive buonismo, as the Holy Father calls it in Italian, that do-goodery, that optimistic seeing good in everything, even in sin. Seeing good in everything, even in sin, that blindness to sin, and seeing good in everything without judging, quote-unquote, which in the name of mercy bandages, the Pope says, which in the name of mercy bandages the wounds of sinners without first cleaning them and treating them, which treats symptoms and not the causes or the roots of the evils. These the Pope calls progressivists or liberalists. To them we can link another temptation of which the Pope speaks, that of transforming stone into bread in order to put an end to a long, burdensome, and painful fast, calling evil good and feeding sinners with stones for bread, pretending to satisfy their hunger. The Good Samaritan example again. The Good Samaritan doesn't just come up to the wounded man and tell him, "Wow, I think God loves you just the way you are. I think you're going to be okay. There's really no problem. Who am I to condemn you? I think you'll recover just fine on your own." No, the Good Samaritan recognizes the evil, the wounds in the sinner, and takes care of them. This is not mercy, to come up to somebody who's in his sins, who's wounded and dying, and tell them, "I think you're okay. Who am I to condemn you?" That's not mercy. That's cruelty. The temptation to come down from the cross in order to make the people happy, the Pope says, is another one. Not to remain on the cross in order to fulfill the will of the Father. To let oneself be molded by the spirit of the world instead of purifying it and molding it according to the Spirit of God. A temptation to reject the cross, to let oneself be molded by the spirit of the world instead of purifying it, instead of molding the spirit of the world according to the Spirit of God. The temptation to neglect the deposit of faith, considering themselves, shepherds, considering themselves not the guardians, but the owners of it. On the other hand, the temptation to neglect reality, adopting a detailed and polished language to say many things and to say nothing, to find no solution, to make no link between doctrine and life, to find no remedy for the evils that afflict us today. All temptations that we, shepherds, pastors, but also the laity, face today in the church. The Pope reminds bishops that it is his, the Pope's task, to remind them that their duty is to nourish their flocks, which the Lord has entrusted to them, to take in the lost sheep, the Pope says. And here he says, very dearly, he says, "Here, when I say to take in the lost sheep, I've actually made a mistake. I should have said to go out and to look for the lost sheep, not only to take them in when they come to you, to go out and look for them, to look for these lost sheep." St. Anthony Claret preached 25,000 sermons to that effect, to find the lost sheep. He wrote 144 different works, Faith, Morals, Salvation, and Sanctity. He traveled almost all of Spain and Cuba on foot. And as a reward, he suffered 15 assassination attempts. Admirable charity, true long-suffering, a true shepherd. This is the church, the Pope goes on to say. When the shepherds do their duty, this is the true church, which does not fear to have to roll up its sleeves and pour oil and wine on the wounds of men. And though it treats the wounds of men, it does not ever let itself be wounded by them. Treats the wounds of men, but it does not ever let itself be wounded by them. Though it fearlessly, mercifully, maternally rolls up its sleeves, pours oil and wine on the wounds of sinners, sometimes putrid, sometimes festering wounds, it never stains itself while doing so. This is the church, the true spouse of Christ, which strives to be faithful to its spouse and to his doctrine, the church which is not afraid to eat and drink with prostitutes and publicans, but though it never becomes a prostitute herself, never betrays her spouse, but transforms prostitutes, publicans, tax collectors into saints, like St. Matthew, like St. Mary Magdalene. The church always says, go and sin no more. To whatever sinner it finds on its way, it always says, go and sin no more. Not go and sin some more, as it would be easier to say. It's not mercy. It's not mercy to tell somebody, well, go and sin some more. Don't bother yourself. Don't let God disturb your life. Just go and sin some more. That's not mercy. What is mercy is to tell the sinner, no matter what you've done, no matter how much of it you've done, no matter how long you've been doing it, there is mercy for you. You can be forgiven. You can rebuild your life on the rock, which is Christ. You can still become a saint and go to heaven. Just go and sin no more. The church has its doors wide open to receive the needy, the repentant, and not only the just and those who believe themselves to be perfect. The church has its doors wide open. It goes in search of the needy, the repentant. The church, by means of its holy shepherd, goes in search of these sinners, but telling them maternally, repeating to them the words of our Lord, go, your sins have been forgiven, there's mercy for you, but sin no more. So let us pray. Pray for our church today, for the Pope, for his cardinals, for the bishops, for all the priests that you know, for yourselves, because you too have to collaborate with priests in the mission of teaching, of sanctifying, of evangelizing. Let us pray through the intercession of St. Anthony Claret, a true shepherd with admirable charity. So let us conclude with the collect for this Mass again. O God, who for the evangelization of people strengthen the bishop, St. Anthony Mary Claret, with admirable charity and long-suffering, grant through his intercession that seeking the things that are yours, always seeking the things that are yours, your rights, your laws, seeking the things that are yours, we may earnestly devote ourselves to winning our brothers and sisters for Christ. St. Anthony Mary Claret, pray for us. Praised be Jesus and Mary.